right, welcome to the free stretch here on JBF, JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Bobby Fenton. It's one of the best weeks of the year, folks. Or at least it's one of the best non-football weeks of the year. And I am thrilled to be coming at you. Sorry the show's a little late this week, first of all. I want to apologize for that because I like to get it out on Thursdays and had some stuff come up this week. Mainly having, I'm not going to go all, you know, parent podcast on you here because you don't give a crap about that. But I got a three-year-old and a six-year-old, and the three-year-old has a fever, girl. And whatever, that's no big deal. But it's spring break, so I've got both of them. And I'm a stay-at-home dad during the day. I do the stuff I do at nights and weekends. So, you know, it's one thing to take care of a sick kid, but it's another thing when you have another non-sick kid who needs to be entertained constantly. And just, man, spring break, that really turns around from when you're a kid to when you have your own kids. I'll tell you what, used to love that week about 20 years ago, and now, not so much, ready to get back to normal. But anyway, everybody's in bed now. I'm able to come in here and record. And again, this is one of my favorite weeks of the year, first of all. And we're going to talk about the Bucks. We're going to talk about free agency. We're going to get to all the things that are going on. But when you have it all lined up like this, these 4 days going on right now, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, are one of the, I'm not going to say even one of, they are the great American days of sport. There's individual days that I like more. I mean, there's all kinds of sporting events that are great. And again, many of them involve football. But these 4 days back to back to back, along with Masters weekend, are four of my favorites all in a row like this. And actually, I'm doing this now as the Gators are getting ready to tip off. So I'm going to probably be a little bit shorter than usual, but we still got a lot to get to. And you've got that. You've got Bay Hill going on, which has taken on new meaning now with Tiger back and doing his thing, which we talked about on the podcast last week about how Tiger being back and just all of a sudden top of the leaderboard, doing things we used to see him do all the time. It's like having a long-lost dead relative, like your dead grandfather or something, just show up at Thanksgiving dinner one day and just sit down and be like, hey, what's up? Just like nothing ever happened, like he's just back from the dead. Like that's what this feels like, not to use hyperbole, but it's so much fun. And he's a few shots back, but he had another solid under par round in the first round today. I was at the Valspar here in town at Innisbrook last week. I'm going to talk about that in a little while as well. So you got that going on. You got the hockey final stretch going on here, the lightning of a big game with the Bruins on Saturday night. Can we finally get to the playoffs, please, with them? And then I won't even dignify spring training as much as I love baseball. Talked about that last week, too, how overrated spring training is. But that'll start soon. Anyway, this weekend, this one weekend, these 4 days, Thursday through Sunday, always four of my favorites. So with that said, one thing I didn't add on to that is NFL free agency going on right now. And I've cautioned you, we had a big discussion about it on the show, about not being reactionary, not freaking out about any one free agent, not freaking out about who the Bucks didn't get or who they're supposed to get that they didn't try hard enough to get or this, that, and the other. And I'm going to reiterate that now, folks, because I'm seeing it on Twitter. It's unavoidable. Every single time a guy signs with anyone, anywhere, and it's not the Bucks, oh, Jason Light must be trying to get fired. Oh, my God, the Bucks are going to suck again. I can't believe they're just sitting there doing nothing. We get all this cap space. Blah, 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 blah. And as I said before, I'll tell you again now, you have to just let the whole process play out. And I'm not telling you not to judge. I'm not telling you not to say all those things you're thinking. I'm just telling you to wait to say them until you're sure the Bucks didn't do what they needed to do. And you can't say that now. You can't be sure of that now. Because we haven't had the draft yet. Free agency just got going. You hear about all these things. You know, when we get to training camp, when we get into June and early July and we're looking at training camp being a few weeks away, then you can look at the roster and say, oh man, I don't know. Like, I don't know if, you know, what's going to be different this year than last year. How bad our pass rush was, how bad our run defense was, on and on and on. You know, then. But let's just let it play out right now. Number one. Number two, I don't know what y'all expected in free agency, but it ain't like 1993 or whatever it was. I forget the year when Reggie White was like doing a grand tour of the league and every single owner and GM in the entire league was showing him around their practice facility, and where's Reggie White going to go? You know, that was the whole thing. He ended up going to the Packers, as we all know now. But, like, that was a whole bit. There's nobody like that out there, at least in the pass rush department. Now, in the run-stopping department, interestingly enough for those of you that have been bashing the Bucs and Jason Light, there were a couple guys available. In fact, the top two graded run stoppers, according to Pro Football Focus, whatever stock you want to put in that, happen to be free agents this year. One a defensive end, one a defensive tackle. And they actually both ended up signing with the same team. It's funny. It was the Bucs. And so I don't know if that means anything to a lot of you guys, and I'm not claiming these guys are world beaters. In fact, I didn't know a lot about either of them. I had to look them up, okay? And that happens a lot in free agency. You talk about a certain guy, a certain splone, and Ndamukong Suh, oh my God, Suh. And then you sign somebody else who maybe you've heard their name before, or maybe you know them a little bit, but you don't really know that much about them. That always happens in free agency. Well, the Bucs went out and signed Bo Allen from the Eagles, just won a Super Bowl. He's got 2 career sacks, I know. But again, he's a hell of a run stopper in the middle. They also got a defensive end, Mitch Unrain, from the Bears, who's got a few more sacks, but again, is not exactly a Reggie White-esque force at defensive end, but grades out extremely well against the run from the end position. So that's 2 guys who, again, aren't names you're going to go, oh my God, I'm going to text my buddy, we just got Bo Allen. You know, you're not going to do that. I understand that. But Pro Football Focus is a pretty legitimate source. And again, you can question whether the technicality of their exact rankings, but these are 2 highly regarded run stoppers. And the Bucs had problems across the defensive front last year. It wasn't just specifically the pass rush. So now they've got 2 guys who they've used, and they've bolstered that department. And you know what? That helps your pass defense, too. And I'm not saying they're done, or I'm not saying that they're good to go now and they don't have to worry about anything else defensively, but, you know, they got gashed last year. It wasn't just the pass rush. And when you have an ability to stop the run like that, then you set up passing downs and your pass defense has a fighting chance when they can tee off on 3rd and 9 or 3rd and 12 as opposed to 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 5 when teams have options, or never mind that, 2nd and 4. Or 2nd and 3, when teams can do whatever the hell they want against your defense. That really makes it hard on your defense. So these 2 guys will go a long way, I hope, toward the Bucs winning 1st and/or 2nd down, and that will make a difference on 2nd and/or 3rd down, I'd like to think. And again, I'm just going by the numbers I read, okay? It's not the flash, but free agency rarely is about that. Now they're looking offensive front. And again, same thing. This guy Ryan Jensen from the Ravens, he's a hell of a lineman. He can play guard, can play center. I mean, we want him. So he's going around, making the rounds, was visiting the Bucs, supposed to visit the Colts after that. And I hear people on Twitter, oh my God, he left one Buck without an offer. He's going to see the Colts. If you don't close him while he's here, what good are you? And you know what? And that may end up being true. I have no idea. But the plan all along was for this guy to visit multiple teams. We happened to go first. I'm not going to freak out. I mean, I actually saw people on Twitter saying, dude, give me an update. Like, you know, it's not just Joe Bucs fan. Like, Joe Bucs fan I follow on Twitter, but I follow all the Bucs coverage and the beat writers and everybody. There's a million different people talking Bucs on Twitter. I follow them all. You probably do too if you're a Twitter type. All right. And people tweeting out, what did Jensen do? Did he leave? I'm getting nervous. I'm on pins and needles over it. Look, if you're on, I love the Bucs. You know I love the Bucs. You know how big of a Bucs fan I am. Forget about being in the media, which I'm not even technically in the media now. But forget about that. Forget about hosting a radio show. I'm a Bucs fan for life. Beginning of my life, as long as I'm alive, I will be. Okay? I'm a fan. You should not be on pins and needles about whether or not Ryan Jensen leaves after his free agent visit and visits another team or not. Like that, you need to go do something else. Like, go back to your office and, you know, bang out a couple of files or spreadsheets or whatever. I don't know what it, but just calm down, okay? Like, this is not a make or break thing. I'd love to get the guy. Or, you know, Pouncey's another one they're talking to, like I said. Just let these guys do it. It'd be one thing if it was like a free agent, like a singular, whether it's a quarterback or a Reggie White type, like I was saying, where it's like a big deal, like where's this guy going to go? But the comings and goings of all these free agents and visiting this and that, and people are just so... And it's a testament. It's a testament to how much people care and how much people still follow the NFL and the Bucks and how much people love those things. I mean, there's people following free agency now more closely, as great as the Lightning are doing and as awesome as that is, and is to me the number one story in Tampa right now, sports-wise. There's a good deal of people out there, and you may be one of them, who will barely even watch 5 seconds of that, but you're going to refresh Twitter every 10 seconds to see if, I don't want to call him a journeyman lineman, but, you know, a guy who we don't know all that well. I mean, I had to look up Ryan Jensen, too. And is he or isn't he going to go with the Bucks, or is he going to go visit the Colts after all? Is he going to get on an airplane? You're, like, refreshing Twitter about that. I'm not making fun of you because I do it too about other stuff. When the Gators were doing their coaching search, I had a webcam of the airport runway set up on my laptop that I just kept on there for like an entire 2 days to see if they were bringing back Chip Kelly or Dan Mullen or whoever it was. So I do the same stupid stuff I make fun of, believe me. It's just about different things. But don't get all caught up and just let it all play out. It'll happen. Bucks will come up with a winner. They've done some good things. And then, of course, we have the draft, which we'll get all into that. I mean, that's getting closer now, but it's still only March, and we got a lot of time, and we'll do all that as it comes. In the meantime, speaking of the NFL draft, one other thing, and I thought this was incredible. I had to mention this today. So, SI's Robert Klemko, you know, he's got the Monday morning quarterback thing Peter King has. He's got a whole stable of writers. Robert Klemko was talking about Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield, as you all know, quarterback out of Oklahoma, has had a bit of a checkered past, kind of a gunslinger, kind of a personality, kind of a guy with some off-field stuff that some people love and some people don't love so much. Just depends. Anyway, supposedly, with Baker Mayfield, an unnamed team, and Mayfield heard about this from a trusted source, the article says, but supposedly Mayfield has a tail in Norman. He's got somebody following him. And an unnamed team, allegedly, has hired a private investigator just to follow him around for a little while. Just check him out. And my first instinct when I heard this, you know, you always make your snap reaction, then you try and, I always at least try and stop and think. Let me really think, you know, how do I feel about this? Like, let me look at it from both sides. So my first just snap gut reaction was, these people are idiots. I kid, these NFL guys, they're such whack jobs. They're such type A obsessives over everything. They're hiring private investigators to follow guys they might draft. I mean, think about how dumb that is. Then I thought about it a little bit more. I just talked about people on Twitter refreshing out, did a guy that Jason Light's supposed to have lunch with stay and sign a contract, or did he fly to another city and do it with another owner too? You know, I just talked about, and we've all talked about, how Jason Light, Dirk Cutter, everybody's going to get fired this year if things don't work out. And if they don't show, I mean, to me, it should be playoffs, but big improvement over last year. We just talked about that. So that's a testament, as I said, to the tremendous pressure that fans, I'm not blaming the fans, but that fans and owners who write the checks put on their employees to succeed. And if you mess this up, your job's definitely gone, and you set your own franchise back 3-4 years. And it's still weird to me. I mean, believe me, I'm not going to get myself to the point where I say, oh, so I get it why you'd hire a PI. No, I'm not doing that. But I'm just saying, again, the pressure is so great, the money is so big, the difficulty of getting past mistakes like that is so high, it's like turning around one of those tanker ships. You know how you hear about those tanker ships that when they want to make a turn or stop, it takes them like 15 miles to come to a complete stop when they get going, or to make a turn, it takes them like 4 miles one way, then they, I mean, it's a whole thing. That's what it's like when you draft the wrong quarterback. I mean, you don't just go get one the net. It, you start back over, you go 3-13, you got to go, what? It could be 4, 5, 6 years that you are paying for that decision. And so when you think of it that way, Again, it doesn't completely explain away why guys are getting PIs hired. I mean, that's a little bit much. I could even understand a PI to just check up some background on somebody, maybe. But to actually follow a guy, like, they're in... Imagine them sitting... And this actually sounds fun, to be honest with you. But imagine, you know, them sitting in their car and, like, following Baker Mayfield or any other of these players and checking out their workouts. And he goes home. Are his lights out? Is he going to bed? I think I see the TV glow. Is the TV glowing? Because studies have shown that's really bad to sleep with the TV on. You don't get the REM sleep. Maybe we ought to think twice about this guy if he sleeps with the TV on. And then what time did he wake up? And is that the light going on at 3 in the morning? Is he getting up to pee? Is he getting up to do drugs? What's going on? You know, it just seems so just asinine that they would do this, but that's what a guy is doing right now. Somebody's getting, I want to know how much he's getting paid. I don't have that information. But somebody's getting paid to go follow Baker Mayfield around. Seems weird. Seems a little much. But again, when you realize the pressure these guys are under, and I don't think it's illegal, right? It might be illegal. You know? And when you realize the investment, I hate when people talk about these guys like they're not actual people. Like, oh, this is an investment. But it is, and it's an investment. I mean, you know, it is. I can be a little more understanding. And what team is doing that? Like, is it the Browns? I mean, it can't be the Browns, right? The Browns, it wouldn't be that obvious, would it? The Jets? I don't know. So anyway. And that leads me to my next topic. Speaking of stalking people, I want to talk about golf for a minute with Tiger. And here's what I'm going to say, just again, because it happened last week and I got to go. I want to thank Rick Odioso, by the way, big friend of the Free Stretch. Actually, one of the first guys I ever did radio with, former PR head with the Buccaneers way back when. Statistician extraordinaire now, and of course he's on the board there, on the staff of the Valspar Championship, heading up media relations for them. And having Tiger come to town... Listen, I'm 37 years old. I got started in radio, not counting my college radio. I got started when I was like 24. And I'm not going to do a resume thing, but I've gotten to cover Super Bowls. I've gotten to do Radio Row and interview all these people in person. I've gotten to meet a lot of people. I've been in locker rooms of all the sports. I mean, I've seen a bunch of stuff in sports. So I'm one of those guys that always tries to pretend I'm too cool for school. Like, I don't make a big deal out of seeing an athlete. I've seen so many. They're all just guys. And you know, I always make fun of people who wear jerseys, for example. You know, I've done segments on that here on the Free Stretch as well as on, you know, my radio shows in the past. And, you know, I'm always like, oh, yeah, I'm hey, it's old hat, man. Been there, done that. No big deal. Not so with Tiger, okay? 100% full nerd out session last weekend with Tiger being there, because he's the one guy, at least the one guy in my generation. I mean, it's different. Tom Brady, I've been in the locker room with Tom Brady after he won one of his Super Bowls, chatting it up. I mean, I wasn't talking to him, but he was just standing there talking to some friends. I was standing right there. Whatever, Tom Brady. You know, I've been around other guys too. I don't care. Just doesn't faze me. But just the idea of seeing Tiger, and I was there on Sunday, and that Sunday red, I mean, I was just the biggest geek, just like the rest of them. I was following him around the course. I was, like, mapping out strategies. Like, you think maybe if we go to the tee box at 12 and watch his tee shot, what if we skip the 12th green, then we go to 13, and we're already there when he comes on the tee box? And what about the crossover from 12 green to 13 tee? We could probably stand right there and watch him walk by it, be only a few feet away, then still get our spot on the tee. Like, I was totally that guy at the tournament. Just nerding out, just couldn't get... My wife's even got pictures, not of Tiger, but of me holding my phone like a geek, like trying to get a picture of Tiger as he walks by. All the things I make fun of other people for all the other times of the year, Tiger's different. It was just... It was so cool. It was so cool being around all that. And it's funny because, like, my wife rolls her eyes, and it's not because of the nerd out, it's because she is skeptical of Tiger. And a lot of you guys probably experience this if you, maybe you're not a Tiger fan, but just in general, when it comes up in conversation, after what he did, women tend to be a little bit more, women tend to be a little bit less forgiving. And every time the subject comes up, and I try to get all excited, like, oh, you know, babe, Tiger just birdied the third hole. He made a 70-foot putt. He's 4 under, and he's only 2 back of the lead. Oh, my God. And she's just like, yeah, whatever. You know, she's still pissed off about him cheating on his wife over and over and over and over and over for years and years and years. Which, you know, hey, that's not exactly something you just, oh, yeah, well, you know, that was the thing that happened. That's a pretty big deal. And yet, that's still where she is. I'm not saying that any of that's okay, but Tiger just transcends all that. And listen, I don't think he's a bad guy. I think good people can do bad things. But that's a big deal. I mean, you know, think about if that happened to you. Think about his poor wife. What if your spouse, most of you probably men listening, but male or female, think about if your spouse got married to you, had a kid with you, and then just went out and just banged like literally hundreds of members of the opposite sex the entire time you were married. You'd feel really, I don't say the money, I understand she got a bunch of money, but that would feel really bad. I mean, and think about it. I think I'd rather it be that way than have my wife have an affair with just one guy. Like, I'd almost rather her just bang multiple people. But still, that'd be a very bad feeling, and it'd be embarrassing. It'd be something that even after you personally got over it, you'd have to worry about everybody, or you wouldn't have to worry about it, but you'd have to deal with everybody always looking at you like, oh, that poor thing, and I wouldn't want that either. I mean, it would suck. Like, that was a really, really bad thing he did to that woman, and she has to deal with that now. And I'm sure if you ask her, you know, she doesn't think Tiger's a great guy even today. As remorseful as Tiger may or may not be. And it's funny, because with some athletes, I think about stuff they've done off the field. And other athletes, it doesn't faze me at all. And Tiger's one of those ones, I mean, however you feel about him, think about where this guy was. And I mean, way before, I mean, when he was doing what he was doing, winning majors. Think about where he was, I mean, just the most transcendent athlete we've had since Muhammad Ali, in my opinion. No one moves the needle like Tiger since Muhammad Ali. I don't think that's a stretch at all. I think that's a fact. And then to have all that what happened, the injury, aside from the thing with his wife and the 3-iron into the windshield and all that stuff, I'm just talking about from a purely golf standpoint and the injuries. And I remember watching him, it was even a couple years ago, I think, and not even that, watching him at the opening of one of his new courses or something, and he had been in seclusion for a while, and it was like, oh man, Tiger's out there. Unbelievable, we're seeing him again. And, yo, I wonder if he's going to hit a shot, see how he feels. And this is, again, when it was real deep cover, like what's going on with Tiger. And he just hit a little pitch shot, like a little 100-yard pitch shot. Like, it was like the ceremonial first ever shots on this new course they were opening. They had a podium set up, people politely clapping, and he rinsed 3 in the water from 100 yards. He couldn't reach the green. And I remember watching it just with this horrified look on my face, like, oh my God. Because I'm Mr. Positive. I've been just over and over the years, I've been banging the drum. Oh, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Just got to get healthy. Probably rushed it a little bit that last comeback. Maybe shouldn't take so long. He'll be fine. My wife, again, would always just glare at me. She'd be like, dude, he'll never do anything again. He's done. And I wish I could tell you that I was like, oh, you're just not a believer, man. You'll see. But I was kind of like, yeah, I wonder if she's right. And then to get to those depths, and then he gets the lumbar fusion or whatever it is, and he comes back, and you're like, okay, well, at least he's going to give it another go. I hope he gets his money's worth and just gives it one real legitimate shot, and just we'll see. Just hoping he can get out there. And he hasn't won anything yet, but since he's been out there the past few weeks, you're like, oh, this, I mean, what if he goes out and, like, wins more majors? Even one. What if he goes to Augusta? And I still don't think he'll win the Masters, but, like, what if he was on the back nine on Sunday in contention? And maybe Spieth or McIlroy or both, or Jason Day, or any number of guys, these young guys, these guys that he created. Patrick Reed wears red and black, red shirt, black pants, just like Tiger every Sunday because he grew up watching Tiger. I don't feel like he's that old. Like, Tiger's old enough to have guys that already are on the tour that were kids when he was playing, but he is. And then what if he's on the back nine on Sunday against those same guys? I mean, that would be some of the most compelling sports television. It's already, I mean, even watched him in the Valspar, Bay Hill now, the Honda at PGA a few weeks ago. That's compelling as hell, too. That's what I'm saying. It's just, I don't know what it is. Listen, I like golf. Even without Tiger, I watch the majors. But when you throw Tiger in the mix and he's in contention, there's, it's not even that I don't like the other guys. Like, it was great for Paul Casey that he won here in town at the Valspar. I wasn't against Paul Casey winning, but I was lucky enough to be standing right there when Tiger on 18 hit his tee shot, which he hit one of those Stinger 2 irons. It landed right in front of me. Like, you know how you spot along the fairway where you think it might land? And he wasn't hitting his driver on that hole, so we got a little further back, and he dropped it in, like, right in front of us. So I got to watch him hit his shot on 18, his approach, which he needed to stick so he could birdie. A birdie was the only way he could force a playoff. And the millisecond the ball left that club on his approach shot, I mean, all of us leaned forward over the rope. I was like, get on the stick! Get on the stick! I mean, I was totally into it. Like, my wife was, like, looking at me like, I don't see you cheer this hard for the Bucks. And this isn't even a team. This is one guy. But, man, I was feeling it. I wanted to see that thing drop in within 6 feet. Birdie putt, tie it, play out. I mean, I was totally in. It didn't happen. He ended up leaving about 35 feet and had the two putt and lost the tournament by one. But that wasn't the point. Like, I root for Tiger the way I root for teams in my other sports life. And it's not even because I'm individually, I mean, Tiger seems like, you know, he's obviously an interesting guy, but it's not like a personal, like, I just love him so much. It's more that I love him being in it, not him personally, because it just makes golf so much more fun. And the Masters, same thing. I mean, what if it's Sunday and they're getting ready to hit Amen Corner and it's Tiger, Spieth, separated by one shot, McIlroy's right there. Like I said, Patrick Reed, any of these guys. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, the entire nation will be tuned in. I don't think I know a single person who wouldn't be tuned into that. It transcends golf. So like I said, I don't usually nerd out like this over any individual athletes, but Tiger's a special case. I am here for it. I am jacked up. The Valspar is a fantastic tournament. And I've been before, you know, it's obviously a little different with Tiger, but it wasn't as bad as I thought. I thought it'd just be a zoo where you had no access to anything. And if you're willing, like I said, to give up a hole where you watch him play one hole and then skip the next hole, you can get a pretty good spot on the one after that. And you know, I just thought you wouldn't be able to get within 100 feet of the ropes on any part of the course that he was anywhere near. But I got plenty good pictures. I got to see the groups in front of him come through, including Patrick Reed, like I said, and Paul Casey and all those guys. I mean, it was great. The Valspar is a great viewing experience, and golf in general. I mean, golf is not like any other sport. You're there on the course with the guys. Like, it's not like you sit in the stands. Like, I had a couple guys hit their drives on 18 to the right, and the ball landed, like, right next to me. This is before Tiger. And I just stood right there and watched them hit their shot. You listen. I mean, you're literally standing 2 feet away from them while they're talking to their caddy. And I mean, that you don't get that in any other sport. And they do a great job at the Valspar. The course is beautiful. I say this all the time. We're very lucky to live where we live. To have a metropolitan area big enough that all these things come here. Concerts, sporting events, things like that. But not, doesn't feel that big. It still feels, Tampa to me still feels like a small town in a lot of ways. And of course, it's not a concrete jungle. The cost of living isn't that high. The hustle and bustle, we got some traffic, but nothing like some of the bigger city. I mean, we got the best of everything. We've got all the big city benefits with all the easygoing tropical benefits to go with it. It's just a beautiful thing. So, hats off to the people at the Valspar. They did a great job out there. Saw our good friend Todd Wright, of course, fellow Joe Bucks fan, podcaster, and just a lot of fun in general. So I'll be watching all that closely. But as for the Buccaneers, we'll be back next week. We'll know a little more by then, some more guys visiting, free agents and all that stuff. But I just leave you with this note, as I always say, don't be reactionary. Don't freak out just to freak out. Don't get your heart set on some free agent guy that you barely knew who they were 6 months ago, but this is supposedly the top free agent at this position, so now you have to get obsessed with the Bucks' ability to get him. Don't be that guy. Let the guys do their job. Wait for the draft. We'll see what happens. It's free. I mean, we're talking about free agency, guys. Again, we're talking about free agency. And I'm not saying it's nothing. You can definitely upgrade your team that way, but we're talking about free agency. There's 32 teams out there. All 32 of them are trying to do the same thing. A couple of these guys will be big hit free agent signings. Some will be very adequate, and they'll do just what you hope they do and nothing more. And others will be busts. I have no idea who they'll be. Neither do you. But there's no sure things out there, and there sure as hell aren't any sure thing pass rushers, because there's barely any pass rushers to begin with. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is my email address. It's all spelled normally, all like you'd think. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. Twitter @BobbyGameDay. I am Bobby Fenton. That is the Free Stretch NCAA Tournament First Two Rounds edition. Thanks to the Joes for having me up on this wonderful website and giving me the ability to be in front of you guys and posting this podcast. I'm Bobby Fenton. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, wherever you are, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.